Oh, I feel good. You know, I didn't hear the word sin. I didn't hear the word repentance. I didn't hear anybody say get right with God. I didn't hear anything about money. I didn't hear anything. That's right. You didn't hear anything. Don't give me that doctrine. I don't want doctrine. But the Bible commands the pastor to teach good doctrine.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, happy Friday and welcome. Last time in part one of our study in Hebrews chapter 5, we began to uncover a stark warning from the author of Scripture, the danger of spiritual stagnation. We looked at verses 11 and 12, where we were called out for still needing milk, when by now we should all be teachers. Today in part two, we're moving into verses 13 and 14. We're going to tackle the vital question, how do we move from milk to solid food? We'll discover that spiritual maturity isn't automatic. It requires something specific, constant practice and discernment. Now, Pastor, with today's message, the third warning.
It says she was reading through the Gospels, and after she finished, she told a friend she wanted to read a book on church history. And when her friend asked her why, the woman replied, "Well, I'm curious, and I've been wondering when Christians started to become so unlike Christ." What a word. 1 John 2:6, "He who says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked." There you take Peter and you take John. You know, there they are, fishermen and all that. Boy, when they're filled with the Spirit of God, and the religious leaders told them, "You don't preach in Jesus' name," and all of that. Loved one, listen. Listen to what they said about Peter and John in Acts 4:13. It says, "And when they," the religious leaders, "saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men," meaning that means untrained in rabbinical theology, if you will, "they marveled and realized that they had been with Jesus." Boy, that's the secret right there to grow up, is just be with Jesus, is to follow him. Amen? And I guarantee you, he will grow you up. So babes, listen, they drink only milk. That's their diet. They're dull of hearing. They refuse to grow up. You know why? They're lazy. Isn't that a nice word? They're lazy. If we refuse to grow up, it means we're lazy. If we refuse to open our Bibles and dig in deep, it means we're lazy believers. Is that okay to say that? Okay, but if we are mature, we're not lazy. We want to grow up. And if you want to grow up, if you know what? It takes work, doesn't it? You know, sometimes I believe, no, I don't believe it, I know it, that God allows difficult things to come into our life to grow us up. I would not take for the hard times that I have had, even before I was born again. There's something about going through difficult times. And when you cry out to God and you're at that throne of grace and you're digging through the Word of God and you're standing by faith on the promises of God, I'm telling you, that's when you start growing. When you know that, no, I'm going to believe God's Word. I'm casting down every thought, anything that exalts itself above the Word of God. I have to fight now. That's when you start growing up, loved one. It's very, very important. But mature people, believers, they get on that solid food because they work. Look at verse 14. "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age," in other words, that are maturing. "That is, those by reason of" what? "Use." "Those by reason of use," habitual use, okay, "have their senses exercised" to do what? "To discern both good and evil." Now, remember, solid food in context again is always referring to the ministry, the high priestly calling of Jesus in heaven, who's for us. Now, we all know where God is, where Jesus is right now. Hebrews 4:16, we can go to the throne of grace. We know exactly what we're to do. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, that we're to seek things above, not seek things below. We're to seek things above where Christ is. Amen? Now, but solid food belongs to full-grown people. They're growing up, meaning those by reason of use. They get into God's Word, and they train themselves over and over. They memorize scripture and they exercise themselves in God's word. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:7, he says, exercise yourself toward godliness. That means they work and so forth. Exercise yourself. We get our word gymnastics from that word in the Greek, by the way. But listen, you only have two types of food really to eat. You have either earthly food or you have heavenly food. Amen? And this is heavenly food right here. You have milk in here and you also have solid food in there. Now listen, spiritual maturity is not automatic. Amen? No, there's not. There's not any shortcuts, no instant formulas. You have to work or let the Holy Spirit work through you. Amen? And grow you up. The Holy Spirit wants to illuminate every word in the Word of God to you, in your heart. Now, it says that we have to work. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent or make every effort to present yourselves approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May I tell you, to rightly divide the word of truth so you won't be ashamed, to do it accurately, does it take diligent study? You better believe it does. Does it take a lot of work? You better believe it takes a lot of work. You know, yesterday or this week, I was talking about the text that we're going to be covering Sunday to Becky. And I said to her, I said, you're not going to believe this, but I said, I have written down 37 pages of notes just on chapter 6. 37 pages. Now, just things I want to remember as I did my study in the Greek and this and all. Just notes after notes because of the difficulty of the text. See, if you're going to rightly divide the Word of God, you have to do more than read it. You have to study it. You have to learn how to study God's Word. To be skillful in the Word, you have to spend time in the Word. Now, listen very carefully. I wrote this down. I want to say it just like I did. I said this, Calvary, you are in trouble if your pastor is your main source of food. No matter how good or bad my teaching is, no matter how sound of doctrine it is, if I'm your only source of food, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And I want you to be here, and I'm doing my job. But the thing is, you have a job to do too. Remember whenever Paul and Silas, when they went to Berea, they left Thessalonica, and they went unto the Berea. It says in Acts 17:10, and when they arrived, they went into a synagogue of the Jews, and they were more fair-minded, or they had a good attitude, than those in Thessalonica. Here's why. In that they received the word, God's word, with all readiness, meaning they were eager. And it says, and they searched, they did, they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And then it says, and many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, but prominent women as well as men. Number one, what did they do? These believers. Number one, they received the word of God. Praise the Lord. They researched the word of God. Then they responded to the word of God. They didn't say among themselves, just like right here. Here comes the Apostle Paul. He comes up to the pulpit and we're going, wow, man, the famous apostle of all is here. And he was led by the Lord himself to salvation on the Damascus road. We can trust every word he says. They listened to Paul. Are you listening to me? And they said, okay, Paul, we can listen, but we're going to go to the Bible ourselves. We're going to go to the Bible ourselves and see if what you said is real, if it's true or not. How many times have I asked you and told you lovingly, check out everything I say. Whatever I teach up here, don't just say, well, Bill said it. No, loved one, you check it out. Is it true? Am I rightly dividing the Word of God? And so forth. It's important that you open up your Bibles. Don't just accept what others teach. Check it out for yourself. But listen, when you do, check it out for yourself. Now listen, you want to mature, go to the Bible first, okay? Don't go, oh, well, I'm going to check out Bill's sermon. I don't know about that, man, because no. Listen, they didn't search commentaries. They searched the Word of God. Amen? And that's what we're to do. They didn't say, I'm going to go check out my favorite Bible teacher. Even though Pastor Chuck, he's gone home. I know he's got, chuck.org and all that. And I'm going to go through it and see what he says. Well, there's nothing wrong with that after you've done your study time. That's how you grow. That's how you learn. You dig in yourself. If you want to grow up, you have to dig in. You have to work. Amen? Are y'all with me? You're not shutting me down, are you? Good. I can't handle that this morning. I'm tired. No. See, listen, if you have a marriage problem, you don't call the wizard down the street. And don't call your mama-in-law. No, if you have a marriage problem, what do? You go into the Word of God. What does God say about my marriage? What does God say about raising my teens? Or what does God say about forgiveness? Or loving my neighbor as myself, and I don't like my neighbor. You know what I'm saying? See, God says, I want you to grow up. No, and that's what you have to do. See, the Word of God, you search it. You have to remember what Jesus said, John 17:17. Thy word is truth. So the study of God's Word, it requires work. Milk people, they're kind of lazy. But if you want to be mature, you're going to have to work. Look at verse 14 again. Whenever you take that solid food, it belongs to you. It's the Word of God. If you want to grow up, it says, by reason of use, meaning practice, practice, practice in the Word of God, have their senses exercised to do what? To discern both good and evil. The reason, or by reason of use, that word again, it means habitual, ongoing, continuous practice in training yourselves, not only to know the Word of God, but as you know the Word of God and understand the Word of God, you use God's Word to discern. You know, I told the first service that, you know, Friday, whenever the Halton Christian School had the Spring Festival, and I was watching it live online. Beautiful, big screen, man. You know how you get the close-ups? You know how you go to the football game, the pro football game, you have to sit up there and you can't see a thing? But then if you watch it on TV, you've got everything. Well, see, I got to see every smile. It was so cool. You know, they were bringing the camera in, and I saw their outfits. But here's what, before they got on this stage for that night, I could hear them, I almost would say every day, because my office is over there. And so they would be here practicing. I don't know how many dozens of times they practiced, but they practiced a lot. But that night when they stepped on stage, because of reason of use, habitual use, they were incredible. They were incredible. I was crying. I think it was the best I have ever seen them do. But they did it because they worked and they worked and they worked. See, the word discern there means to judge and distinguish between. See, possession of information. Okay, I know what the Bible says, but if you don't do what it says, then you're in trouble. You see, you have to know it and then do it. Amen? Now, with all that being said, this solid food here, we digest the solid food. We want to go deeper in the things of God, and it gives us discernment. Remember what Jesus told the multitudes there in Luke 12:54. He says, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, you immediately say, well, a shower is coming, and so it is. When you see the south wind blow, you say, well, there's going to be hot weather. And there it is. And then he goes, hypocrite, you can discern, there's that word, discern, you can distinguish between, you can judge, you can discern the face of the sky and the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? Isn't it amazing? They could discern the storm that was coming or the rain that was coming and all those things, but they could not discern the coming judgment that they were going to face. They couldn't even discern Jesus, the Son of God, right there in their midst. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:21, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. The Jews could, we can look out there and tell you what the weather's going to be. You know, my grandmother could do that. She was a farmer. You know, she came from Tennessee in a covered wagon. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Boy, you're tough this morning. And she would go outside. You remember how, you know, we know when it's going to rain. You smell it, remember? If we're ever outside, we never roll our windows down in our cars, so we wouldn't know, okay? But to know that, and today, we can't discern anything. I mean, you know, you know how we discern the weather? We have a weather app. You know? Oh, you know, yeah. I mean, we have an app for everything. You have an app that tells you, I mean, remember when you used to use maps, real maps? And you'd be driving, and you'd pencil it out before you leave. You nailed it all down. And you know, and now if you people don't know how to read a map. We have a map in our car. And it tells us right turn, left turn, you know, or object in road ahead, or police up ahead, you know. I mean, we're helpless. No, you know, ask Siri. Oh. Discernment. Ecclesiastes 8:5. A wise man's heart discerns both time, when to do a thing, and judgment, how not to do a thing, because for every matter there is a time and a judgment. And though the misery of man increases greatly, why is that? Because they don't have discernment. It says in 1 Chronicles 12:32 about the sons of Issachar. They had understanding of the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. They were only 200 chiefs in that little bitty tribe of David, okay? You know, the soldiers there, the chiefs for David, I should say. And man, they understood the times. Should not the church of the living God at least know a little bit about the times we're in? Because we have the Word of God. Discernment. Think of the terrible price right now today that the church is paying for spiritual immaturity because they're so easily deceived. I mean, it doesn't take much to draw little babies, you know, away into false doctrine. See, the mature discern good and evil, meaning false doctrine and true doctrine. But you take an immature believer, they'll hear anything. Do you know what I mean? You take a little baby, will a baby put anything in their mouth? Yeah, they pick it. Doesn't matter. It doesn't. No discernment, you know. I was fishing one time back when there was nothing but farmland all the way to Denton. And we were on the Bear Creek. And I was only about 5 years old, and I'd go fishing every day. And I was with my buddies, and they were about 5 years old. And so, man, we were on the bank of the river, and we were fishing just cane poles. And all of a sudden, my buddy, there's four of us, and my buddy, he was catching fish after fish. And I said, what in the world are you using? He said, and he reaches in his pocket, and he pulled out that, and they were baby snakes. And I went, oh my God, do you not know what that is? And I thought, you know, started checking him out. Thought, you know, think about that. Did he have discernment? Well, he's catching a lot of fish, but he didn't have any discernment. No, you see, the babies, immature Christians, listen, if they're just still on a milk diet, they'll put anything into their ear. They don't know if it's false or if it's true. They just say, well, he's a preacher. He's a pastor. It has to be true. No, that's not the way it is. Listen, we have to have discernment today because we live in a culture that doesn't have any discernment. We live in a post-truth age. Our culture today, they don't know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. They don't know what's true. They don't know what's evil. They don't know what is good. They just don't know. And the Bible says, woe in Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good, good evil, who put darkness for light. Now look at chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to pick right up here on the third warning next Sunday. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Now, it doesn't mean leaving them doesn't mean I'm to cease believing in them. That's not what it's saying. We're going to have to go someplace. We're trying to grow up, the Jewish believers in and us today. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Why? The foundation has already been laid. So what do? We build upon what we learned from the milk. We build upon that and go on. It says, and let us go on to perfection. So the word therefore returns us to the diet of milk and the diet of solid food, okay? Remember, the milk of the word refers to what Christ has done, his earthly ministry. The solid food is what Christ is doing now, his heavenly priesthood. And in context, that's what the problem was with the Jewish believers. That's why the writer is comparing, as we'll learn in chapter 7 whenever we get there, about the contrast of Melchizedek and our high priest Jesus Christ. Let me give you William's translation of this. It says, so then let us once and for all quit the elementary teaching about Christ and continue progressing toward maturity. Listen, you know the safest place to be with the Lord is when you are progressing. You're going on. You don't want to be regressing. If you are, you're not going forward. You're not going on into maturity. See, the refusal to grow up, to remain, I mean, loved one, just content to remain in Christian 101, the basics, that's very sad, to be a baby. Listen, and the church faces that issue in every generation. when I hear people, and this is not a criticism, this is good, but people get excited about, let's say, the end times. They get excited about, okay, I'm doing a study on 666, you know, or the Antichrist and this and this, and you know what's going to happen in Israel, and then or I'm excited, oh, I just do the rapture, and there's nothing wrong. Those are all wonderful things to do. But loved one, there's more than that, isn't there? Are you excited? Are you excited about maturing in prayer? Have you explored every inch of the throne of grace? Are you excited to learn more as you are, say, about the end times? I'm just using that as a comparison, about our great high priest. See, we know what Jesus, his earthly ministry, we know what he's done, but what is he doing right now in our lives? Man, listen, are we excited about growing up, about maturing? You know, it's only as we mature that we stand the storm. We go through it and we just stand. And having all done to stand, we stand therefore. Amen. You see, hard times, difficulties, forgiving those that have wronged us, hurt us, wounded us. Loved one, that's how you grow up. That's how you start walking in the Spirit. That's how you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, taking you from glory to glory to glory. You know, we know the Jesus of the Gospels. Amen. As we look at next week and the next week after that, the Lord willing, like I said, we know the Jesus of the Gospels, but let's do something. Let's pass through the heavenlies together. Let's find our Lord, because he says to each of us, come boldly to the throne of grace. He loves us, man. He wants to meet with each of us anytime, 24/7. And one last thing before we depart this morning. You that are listening live, maybe here in the sanctuary, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something. You have an appointment with him. Do you hear me? If you don't know the Lord, I want you to listen to me. You have an appointment on your calendar, whether you want it or not. You have an appointment with Jesus Christ. Are you prepared to talk with him? Are you prepared to meet him? Because the Bible says it is appointed, a calendar moment, a calendar day. It is appointed unto man once to die. You can't prevent that day. That day is going to come to us all unless the rapture happens. And then cometh the judgment. Are you prepared for that day? Well, loved one, there is only one way to prepare. And that's to ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord. The one who died for you, the one who forgave you, who died for your sins and wants you to be in heaven with him forever. So as we bow our heads, and every Christian praying, just for a few seconds, loved one, if you don't know the Lord, you don't have to get out of your chair. You who are listening live, you that are in the chapel, you don't have to get out of your chair. But here's what you have to do. If you don't know Christ, if you've never asked him to come in your heart, you've never said, Lord, save me, then right now you can do so. And you know how? You just lift your hand high and say, Bill, I don't know the Lord, and I want to be saved. And just lift it high if that's you, and then put it right back down so I can see it. And then we're going to pray. Anyone this morning in the crowd here, anyone say, Bill, I don't know the Lord. I want Christ to be my Lord. Last call. Anyone at all. Father, I did not see any hands this morning. I pray that means everyone is saved. But if you're listening live and you tune in, boy, I tell you, just ask Jesus, say, Jesus, save me. Come into my heart. Oh, Lord, save me right now. Be the Lord of my life. And he'll do that right now. Father, thank you for this word. I want to grow up more. I want to keep growing up. I don't want to be a baby. I don't want to be a crybaby. I don't want to be a little sissy. Lord, I want to be a man of God, and they want to be men of God and women of God along with me. So, Lord, thank you for your word this morning. We love the milk, but, Lord, we have to have some steak with it. And we're thankful for that. We give you praise this morning. We give you our heart this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen.
As we close our time together, our prayer is that the teaching today leaves you with a challenge to move beyond spiritual infancy and grow in your faith. We know it's made possible by the Holy Spirit's work within us. Amen. Be blessed today, and we'll see you on Monday.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.